Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I asked the Lord this morning, we were kind of trying to challenge and be an encouragement to our young people, it being Graduate Sunday. And I asked the Lord if he would give me something for the parents, and give me something for the grandparents, and give me something for us that have a few more years on us, amen, than those that are graduating high school. And the Lord directed my heart to this passage of Scripture. And I'd like to share with you tonight just a few minutes from God's Word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Boy, isn't it good to be in the will of God. We have this Bible, what I'm reading tonight, we have these verses because this man is in the will of God. He's in the will of God, so the Spirit of God can speak through him. And we have this record tonight because there's a man in the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And here's where the verse kind of, or the text kind of grabbed my attention. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. If correctly read, that's the first 14 verses of the book of Colossians. Let's pray for a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand in this place and open this book. I pray, Lord, tonight we'd open our hearts, and God, that you'd speak to us tonight through the word of God. Help us, our Lord, Lord, to remember these young people. Help us to pray for them. Help us to be an encouragement to them. Help us to be there for them, our Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll use them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray tonight you'd make me a blessing to these dear people. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I looked at this little phrase, for this cause, for this cause. I want to say something to the church tonight. We ought to shout glory if one youngin says, I'll do the will of God, let alone several youngins that say, I want to do the will of God. And the Bible said here, for this cause. What is the cause? I want us to look tonight, just kind of outline this a little bit. The first thing I see here is there's something that is declared. The Word of God said, who declared unto us, in verse number 8, your love in the Spirit. How many believes there's some young people around here that love the Lord? I do. I'm convinced of that, amen, that they love the Lord. And it's declared here. And the Apostle Paul said, for this cause. That's the reason that I'm going to pray the way I'm going to pray. That's the reason I'm going to remember them. And that's the reason that we're going to see this desire in his heart and in his life. The Bible said here in verse 6, that bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So I see something declared in the text, but the next thing I see is something desired. And every adult that's here tonight ought to desire for our young people what the Apostle Paul desired for the church at Colossae. You say, preacher, what did he desire? Look at it with me. The Bible said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. There's a desire. I thank God for a godly desire, don't you? And his desire for these at Colossae is that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let me say this tonight. I don't want to make little out of what happened in lives when somebody says, I'm throwing up the white flag. Lord, I'm yours. I want to do your will. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But listen, beloved, that's a step, yes. But how many understands that we need to be praying that God will reveal to them his perfect will and God will lead them in the path? That's what the Bible is talking about here. Paul said, I'm going to keep praying and I'm not going to cease. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to ask God. My desire is that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Listen, I believe this with all of my heart. Anybody that wants to know the will of God, God is not interested in hiding it from them. God wants to reveal that to them. But I believe it's awesome when there's a bunch of people in the background saying, oh God, show them. Show them your will. Lord, fill them with your goodness. Fill them with wisdom. Help them, Lord, down the path of life. Amen. Watch this now. What is this desire about? What is it that Paul desires that I think we should desire, beloved? The Bible said here, the knowledge of his will. What would that incorporate? I see something declared in the scripture. I see something desired in the scripture. But in the scripture, this would be a reflection of someone that's dedicated. I don't believe you would find these attributes in the life of someone that is not dedicated, but rather someone that is dedicated. When a person is dedicated, it will affect some things in their life. I didn't know really the difference between the word effect that starts with an A and the word effect, so I looked it up. Amen. You say, preacher, how old are you? Well, I still look things up. Amen. Can you tell me right quick what the difference between the word effect and effect is? As I looked up the word effect, and this is what it means, to have an effect on, to make a difference. How many want our young people to make a difference? Well, I tell you what, that's what Paul is desiring for them, and that these things would affect. Number one, it will affect their walk. When somebody's dedicated, look at verse 10, that they might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. How many believes when somebody's dedicated, it will affect the way they walk? It'll affect where their feet take them. Amen. It will affect where they go. It'll affect what they say. So it will affect their walk. And when someone is dedicated, secondly, it will affect their work. Watch what the Bible said here. Being fruitful in every good work. I believe when a person is dedicated to the Lord, it's going to affect the work that they do in this world and in their life. And listen, sometimes we have people that kind of say, well, you have to separate the secular from the spiritual. I don't believe that. I believe if you're a child of God, that you ought to be spiritual at work. That doesn't mean you have to be an oddball. But I believe you ought to get up in the morning thanking God for the day, just like you got up and thank God for the Lord's day today. I believe we ought to thank God for our food tomorrow, just like we thank God for our food today. I just believe that Christ is all in all, and that He goes with us every day of our life, amen, and that He ought to affect our work, not only our work for the Lord, but whatever we're doing. We ought to, the Bible said, do all that you do to the glory of God, amen. Do the best that you can. And it'll affect their walk when they're dedicated. It'll affect their work when they're dedicated. It'll affect their wisdom. The Bible said here, an increasing in the knowledge of God. We say this jokingly sometimes, but it's true. I can remember well when I thought I knew everything and Dad didn't know anything. I can remember those days well when I thought, I just wish my dad would get with the program. I mean, after all, what year is it? I can remember thinking thoughts like that. And then I can remember this, getting married. And I can remember having children. And I can remember a reversal that took place in my thought process. And I figured out real quick that Dad knew a whole lot more than I gave Dad credit for. And that I knew a whole lot less than I was taking credit for. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. And so when we pray and we're asking God to make them a dedicated child of God, praying for them that they'll be filled with the knowledge of His will, it'll affect their walk, it'll affect their work, and it'll affect their wisdom in life. And God will give them some instruction to walk by. The book of Proverbs has much to say about that. But then this tonight, it will affect their warfare. When someone is dedicated, the Bible said in verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. How many knows we're living in a wicked world? Amen. And how many knows if you're going to stand up against that wicked world, you're going to need something besides your own strength. You're going to need strength that comes from above. You're going to need the power of God on your life. Amen. And beloved, that's what Paul is praying for here for the church at Colossae. I don't know about you, but it ought to break our hearts tonight when anybody, let alone somebody in our ranks, makes shipwreck of their life. It ought to break our hearts and want to pray, God, strengthen them that they don't just be like a dead fish and float down the stream, but swim upstream for the glory of God. Go against the current. Refuse to go with the flow of this world. Amen. It'll affect their warfare. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering and with joyfulness. How many want our young people to have joy? Amen. Amen. How many believe Jesus brings joy? How many believe sin brings sorrow? Amen. A lot of us, I'll say me, we can say that from experience. Jesus brings joy. Disobedience and sin brings sorrow. And so the joy of the Lord is what we want for their life. And then let me give you this, and I'll close out tonight. Look at verse 12. Not only will it affect their walk when they're dedicated, that's why I want to pray for those that have dedicated their life. It'll affect their work. It'll affect their wisdom. It'll affect their warfare. But it'll affect their worship. Look what the Bible said in verse number 12. The Bible said, giving thanks unto the Father. Now, I didn't even realize that I was coming to that verse tonight. But you know, you might say, well, preacher, why would anybody get up from their seat? I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to let you in on something tonight. A while ago, it got a hold of my heart just knowing He was my Father. And I just wanted to bow before Him a few minutes and worship Him. Is that all right? Amen. I just wanted to thank Him for being my Father. He don't owe me anything. I said He doesn't owe me anything. But He's my Father. And I'll tell you something right now. I believe it blesses our Father's heart when we worship Him. When we worship Him. You don't have to bow on an altar to worship Him. But sometimes I think you will bow and worship Him. Oh, happy day. There's a day coming in heaven, beloved, when we're going to bow at His feet. And we're going to worship like we've never worshiped before. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. I believe two words we'll hear is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We're going to worship. And the Word of God is teaching us here about this thanksgiving, giving thanks unto the Father. He said, "Preacher, what's the big deal?" Well, I think it's a big deal just that He's my Father. It's a great big deal. You know, if He's my Father, then I'm His child. And the Word of God said, I'm an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I tell you, one old preacher said one time, he said, when you leave, he said, shake my hand. He said, go out this week and tell everybody you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. I tell you tonight, if you have Jesus, you have everything. And if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing. The Bible said here, giving thanks, it'll affect their worship. Let me just show you a couple of things tonight. Maybe it won't thrill you the way it did me, but maybe it will. Number one, He's my Father. Look here. He made us meet to be partakers. What did the Bible say here? Of the inheritance of the saints in light. We mean, preacher, what it means is this. I wasn't fit for nothing till I met Jesus. He's the one that made me fit. He's the one that cleaned me up. He's the one that made me fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's the one that pulled me out of the darkness. Amen. He's the one that put His light in me. I'll tell you tonight, the Bible said here, well, to give thanks He made us meet. Then watch verse 13. Who delivered us from the power of darkness. Have you ever just sat in a service like this and wonder, Brother Gary, where would you be? What would you be doing if Jesus hadn't come into your heart and life and saved you and changed you? What would we be doing tonight, Brother Gale? I don't think it would be worshiping, amen. It wasn't before I met Jesus, amen. It'd be some kind of, my friend, some kind of cesspool I'd be wallowing in tonight. But thank God He made a difference and pulled us out of the darkness. That's what the Word of God said. It'll affect your worship. It'll cause you to want to worship. I'm glad He pulled me out. Watch this now. He delivered me from the power of darkness. And not only that, He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. By the way, let me just give you this tonight. Read the book of Romans chapter number 8. You say, right here, it's past tense. Brother Kevin, it's a done deal. In His heart and His mind, honey, I'm already translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You say, preacher, you can't speak like that. That's presumptuous. No, that's a promise from God. Amen. God said it's going to be that way. And thank God it will be for the children of God. And in the mind of God, He sees us already glorified. Amen. In His presence. The Bible said here, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Well, if you ain't found anything to worship about now, yet look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Oh, a lot of these modern Bibles, they like to tear those words out, through His blood. You tell me why anybody in their right mind would take those words out of the Bible. Why would anybody in their right mind take those words out? The only redemption that's real is through His blood. We've been purchased, amen, by the blood of Jesus. The Word of God said, to whom we have redemption through His blood. Then it said this, even the forgiveness of sin. Have you been forgiven tonight? Amen. You know what that ought to do? That ought to affect your worship tonight. Listen, I want to worship Him tonight because when I came to Him, Brother Steve, I noticed y'all were talking over about 1986, 1987. Those years here at the church, over in the fellowship hall today, he and Miss Cindy were talking back and forth. Well, I was saved in 1987. I was just thinking about that when you were, and in a way that seems like a long time ago, and in another way it seems like yesterday. But I just want to say this. I get excited about how the Lord forgave me that night, how that He translated me, brought me out of darkness into light, translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I don't believe you'll live for God very long at all And you'll not only be thanking God for his forgiveness when you got saved, but you'll be thanking God for his forgiveness since you got saved. How many understands what I just said? Brother Mitchell made this statement, one of the greatest statements I've ever heard a man make. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I believe that's a truth if I've ever heard it. Amen. If you've ever repented, you're still repenting. These people running around like they don't never think anything wrong. They don't never say anything wrong. They don't never do anything wrong. I tell you what they need. They need to get right with God. Humble themselves before the God of heaven. Amen. And I believe they do that. It'd help them to worship and experience the forgiveness. And the Bible said if we say we're without sin, we're lying. And the truth's not in us. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, we need him. How many's glad tonight we can pray for our young people? How many's glad we can pray for one another and be filled with the knowledge of his will? I tell you, I believe the reason I'm standing in this pulpit tonight is because God showed me his will. I believe God wants to show every Christian his will. Amen. I believe tonight that not only did I pray wanting to know the will of God, but I believe others prayed wanting to know the will of God. There's a man in this church, I wouldn't say his name tonight, but he said, Pastor, I knew you would be pastor before you knew you would be pastor. You say, well, that's amazing. We serve an amazing God. He can give people peace. Amen. He can settle things. Some of us are slower than others. Help me tonight. Say amen. But I'm glad we have a God that's long-suffering, a God that wants to show us his will for this cause. That ought to be cause enough tonight for us to pray, cause enough that we would just say, Lord, fill them with the knowledge of your will. Give them the grace, our Father, to follow Jesus all the way. I mean, it's glad you come this way tonight. Lord, I'm so glad tonight. He's my Father. I tell you what, I could have left on that line in that song. We have a Heavenly Father above with eyes. Aren't you glad he doesn't have eyes full of vengeance towards his children, but eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love? Thank God tonight. Consider the lilies. It's what the Bible said. Consider the lilies.